using paychecks to get more people vaccinated. I'm David Brancaccio. The Biden administration could reportedly make the coronavirus vaccine booster available sooner, 6 months instead of 8 months after the initial round of shots, according to the Wall Street Journal. The go-ahead for boosters of Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson shots could come as soon as mid-September. In the meantime, companies are working creatively to encourage vaccinations. There have been many carrots, including lottery tickets. And now Delta Airlines says it will ding unvaccinated employees $200 per month if they're on the company's insurance. One reason cited, the average employees hospitalized with COVID costs the airline $50,000 on average, and those shots cut chances of hospitalizations down dramatically. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
Hitting employees in their paycheck to get them vaccinated? Professor Kevin Volpe with the Penn Center for Health Incentives and Behavioral Economics says it might work.
We know from lots of work in behavioral economics that the dollar lost is probably roughly twice that of a dollar gained. So a $200 penalty will have a little bit more of an impact than a $200 reward.
The $200 charge could be popular inside the company, says UC Berkeley business professor Jennifer Chapman, because according to Delta Airlines, 75% of its employees are vaccinated.
That slightly mitigates the chances of a huge negative reaction.
But why $200? Why not $100 or $500? Kate Bundorf is a Duke University health policy professor.
It's hard to come up with the theoretically perfect number in this kind of rapidly changing environment.
Delta Airlines did not respond to an interview request by our deadline. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
The U.S. Treasury is trying to make it easier for state and local governments to distribute federal rental assistance money before a ban on evictions ends. The money to people in need has been taking its time. Some see it as a trickle, not a flow. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on what's being done.
The Treasury Department says only about 10% of the tens of billions of dollars in emergency rental assistance has been distributed. State and local governments are in charge of deciding who qualifies for the funding. Many didn't have systems set up to distribute so much money. They're also trying to prevent fraud. Treasury now says tenants can self-assess their income and risk of becoming homeless. In some places, it's taken weeks to verify that an applicant qualifies for rental aid. Treasury also says the money can be distributed to landlords in advance, assuming their tenants will qualify. The Biden administration is trying to speed things up because the eviction ban might be struck down by the Supreme Court before it expires on October 3rd. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
In a typical year, world central bankers and their posses gather under the majesty of the Grand Tetons in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this time of year. But this time, it's a last-minute change to video conference given the surge of coronavirus driven by the Delta variant. One policy question is, are central bankers tiptoeing around a clear and present challenge? See, the title of the whole conference is Macroeconomic Policy in an Uneven Economy. Is that a way of getting around saying an unequal economy, an idea which some might see as too politically charged. Karen Petru has been thinking about this. She's managing partner of the consultancy Federal Financial Analytics. She has written on inequality and joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So you're thinking the Fed is tiptoeing around something that it should address head on. You're saying uneven is a little precious, that the word should be the economy is unequal and it should be dealt with on those terms.
Yes, I understand the Fed's nervousness because it's always, and I think rightly, trying to be sure that no one thinks it's violating its mandate as a central bank. But economic inequality is fundamentally about money. And no agency in the United States has the power over money that the central bank has. It can and it should do a considerable amount more directly about economic inequality. And it doing that, it's right squarely in its statutory mission. This isn't mission creep. This is fundamental to what an effective central bank really needs to be taking on.
Because in the weeks that followed the renewed energy in the social justice movement after the murder of George Floyd last summer, you did see some voices on the Fed talking about addressing inequalities, moving away from the notion of we'll just manage the economy to lift all boats and that'll solve everybody's problem.
That's right. Once upon a time, we were a middle-class country and lifting all boats lifted most of us up. Now we're not. And when the Fed is as essentially monomaniacally focused on markets as it is, it's lifting a very few, very large super yachts. The rest of our boats are stuck in the mud.
So you're going to be monitoring the feeds coming out of what was supposed to be a gathering at Jackson Hole?
There will be many important announcements made, particularly the markets are going to be watching closely about whether or not there'll be any hints about tapering and what rates are going to be. But I'm also going to be listening keenly to see if one of the biggest problems of our time, economic inequality, is going to be genuinely addressed, not just referred to in the third person.
Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics. She thinks a lot about this. In fact, she's author of a recent book called Engine of Inequality, The Fed and the Future of Wealth in America. Karen, always good to talk.
Thank you, David. A great pleasure.
All right. Checking markets ahead of that conference, especially Fed Chair Powell's speech, which may yield clues about when central bank stimulus might start ramping down, as Karen said. U.S. stock index futures are mixed and not all that changed. The Dow future up 15 points. The S&P future is down less than 0.1%. The NASDAQ future is down 0.2%. We're also waiting for the weekly tally of new people signing up for unemployment benefits. It's supposed to be hovering near a pandemic low. We'll see. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.